How you doing?
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Too much of my phone.
Got it.
Talking chip. Well, good morning, guys.
Morning, Bruce.
Morning.
Good to
Good to be with you
finally.
guys as always. On a warmer than usual day, right? It's just a tease, a big tease for the spring. And I think what first day of spring was yesterday, right? Is that true? Gosh, unbelievable. Anyway. Well, we're going to be continuing on in 1 Samuel. And today we're going to be looking at chapters 27, 29, and 30. And I believe next week David is going to cover 28 before we take the Easter break. So why don't we get started here? There's a lot to cover. There are seasons in life when even a strong believer feels weak. Certainly not because they stop loving God, and certainly not because they abandon their faith, but because weariness slowly erodes our confidence, where exhaustion can cloud our judgment. David is in one of those seasons in these chapters. This is the same David who defeated Goliath, the same David who trusted God again and again. By this time, David has already been anointed king, and yet he's still running for his life from Saul. David's been living in caves, hiding in wilderness areas, and he's constantly under threat. And here in chapters 27, 29, and 30, we find him tired, discouraged, and making decisions that are rooted more in fear than faith. And frankly, that should comfort all of us because most of us have been there. Spiritual maturity does not make us immune to discouragement. It teaches us what to do when it comes. So we're jumping in here. In chapter 27, verse 1, David says something pretty revealing. He says, "One day I will perish by the hand of Saul." Now, what is striking is this: God never said that. God never said Paul would strike David down. But notice, David isn't consulting with God here. He's reasoning within himself. His fear is speaking louder than his faith. You know, sometimes the greatest spiritual battles are not around us, they're inside of our own thoughts, inside of our own heads. Okay? Been there, done that, right? Now, this morning, we're going to see three movements in David's story here. First, we're going to see that discouragement can push us into compromise. Secondly, that God's grace protects us even when our decisions are imperfect. And thirdly, when we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, restoration begins. And ultimately, all of this points forward to Jesus Christ, the greater King who restores everything that the enemy has stolen from us. So let's jump into 1 Samuel 27, beginning at verse 2, and then we'll discuss what's going on. So David arose and went over. He and the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. Jumping down to verse 5. Then David said to Achish, "If I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be given me in one of the country towns that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" So that day, Achish gave him Ziklag. Before Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day, and in the number of days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. All right, so David here does the unthinkable. He decides to leave Israel and live among the Philistines, the very enemies that he once defeated. He goes to Gath. He asks for protection from Achish, and Achish gives him the town of Ziklag. Now, from a human standpoint, this decision seems practical, even strategic. David is tired of running and thinks that living among Israel's enemies will keep Saul from chasing him. Let me stress here, David wasn't being rebellious. He was weary. This is fatigue talking. But we need to notice something important here. In earlier chapters, David repeatedly inquired of the Lord before making decisions. In chapter 27, there is no mention of him asking God for God's help in any decisions of what to do. This is the believer who says, "I'm just tired of fighting. I just am. I'll compromise for a little peace." Or I'll do what works, even if it's not ideal. David finds safety, but at the cost of clarity. Discouragement often pushes people into decisions that they would never normally make. Many believers fall not because they stop loving God. They fall because they stop seeking him in the middle of the pressure. Fatigue can weaken our faith. And David temporarily forgot something crucial here: the fact that God had already declared that he would be king through Samuel. But when fear grows loud, God's promises can seem pretty distant. Fear doesn't usually push us into sin suddenly. It slowly convinces us that God's way is just no longer sustainable for us. Faith requires remembering what God said, even when the circumstances disagree. This moment reveals why humanity ultimately needed a perfect king. David was a great king, but he was still human. He wasn't perfect. Only Jesus Christ could perfectly trust the Father in every circumstance. Where David occasionally leaned on fear, Jesus never did. All right, let's jump into chapter 29, beginning at verse 1, and we'll read through verse 5. Now the Philistines had gathered all their forces at Aphek, and the Israelites were encamped by the spring that is in Jezreel. As the lords of the Philistines were passing on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were passing on in the rear with Achish, the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who's been with me now for days and years? And since he deserted to me, I have found no fault in him to this day." But the commanders of the Philistines were very angry with him. And the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Send the man back, that he may return to the place to which you've assigned him. He shall not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become an adversary to us. For how could this fellow reconcile himself to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of the men here? Is not this David of whom they sing to one another in dances? Saul has struck down thousands and David his 10,000s. All right, so eventually the Philistines gather for war against Israel. David and his men march with the Philistine army, basically bringing up the rear. Think about how dangerous this situation is for David. Just imagine the tension that's going on here. David, the future king of Israel, is marching into battle against Israel, against his own people. Then the unexpected happens. The Philistine commanders object to David's involvement. They say, "Isn't this David, the one they sang about?" Well, obviously, of course, they remembered the song. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So they refuse to let David join the battle. And even though Achish trusted him, he dismisses him. And David is sent home, back to actually Ziklag. At first glance, this looks like rejection, but it's actually God rescuing David. If David had fought in that battle, his reputation and his destiny could have been destroyed. He might have had to choose between betraying Israel or betraying the Philistines. But God stepped in and removed David from the situation entirely. God used the doubts of the Philistine commanders, leaders, to protect David's future. Sometimes God protects us through closed doors that we thought we wanted open.
True.
Let me give you an example. A person applies for their dream job and gets rejected. Months later, they realize that the company went bankrupt or was involved in corruption. What felt like disappointment was divine protection.
Yes.
God sometimes says no because he sees consequences that we just can't. One of the greatest signs of God's grace is when he interrupts our bad decisions. God's faithfulness doesn't depend on our perfection. Many believers can look back on situations where something fell apart, only to realize later that God was actually rescuing him. David didn't deserve this rescue. Absolutely not. David didn't even ask God. But God intervened anyway. And that's what you call grace, gentlemen. This moment points to a much greater rescue, however. Humanity was trapped in sin and destruction. But Jesus stepped into history to rescue us from eternal separation from God. Where David was rescued from a bad situation, Jesus rescues us from eternal death. Amen?
Amen.
All right, jumping to chapter 30.
Will you repeat the last sentence? I'm sorry.
Where David was rescued from a bad situation, Jesus rescues us from eternal death. All right, beginning verse 1, chapter 30. Now, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire, and taken captive the women, all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept till they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives were also taken captive. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. All right, so David returns with his 600 men to Ziklag, and something terrible has happened. Something awful has happened. The Amalekites had attacked the city while they were away. The town is burned to the ground. The wives and children are gone. Everything they own is gone. Livelihoods are destroyed. The men weep until they can't weep anymore. And then something even worse happens. David's own soldiers begin talking about stoning him. David has lost his home, his possessions, his family's safety, his reputation, the trust of his followers. Scripture says David was greatly distressed. Go figure, right? In that moment, the Bible also says something very powerful. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Notice what the verse doesn't say. It doesn't say his friends strengthened him. Doesn't say his family strengthened him. Doesn't say his army strengthened him. No, strength was outside of David. This is the turning point. David doesn't lash out. He doesn't quit. Doesn't blame God. Doesn't collapse spiritually. And he didn't dig deeper into himself, which he had done earlier. Instead, he turns inward toward God. There's moments in life where only God can strengthen our souls.
Amen.
Under the new covenant, strength isn't something that we can summon. It's something that we abide in. Jesus doesn't merely give us strength. He becomes our strength. In Psalm 21, verse 1, David wrote, "The Lord is the strength of my life." Spiritual maturity includes learning how to encourage your own heart in God. David remembered who God was, and that changed everything. Sometimes the strongest faith is simply saying, "God, I still trust in you." After strengthening himself in God, David seeks direction. Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them?" He answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue." Hallelujah. David finally asks the Lord, "Should I pursue the enemy?" And God answers, "Pursue them. Go get them. You'll recover everything." David attacks the Amalekites and wins the battle. Verse 17, and David struck them down from twilight until evening the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who mounted camels and fled. David recovered all the Amalekites had taken, and he also rescued his own wives. Scripture in verse 19 makes an astonishing statement here. It says, Nothing was missing. Whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken, everything was restored. Nothing was missing. Many believers today carry wounds from things the enemy has stolen. Years lost to addiction, broken relationships, missed opportunities, spiritual failure. But the gospel declares that God is a restoring God. Amen?
Amen.
He may not erase the past, but he can restore purpose, joy, and destiny. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus declares, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have life." Jesus is the greater David. He pursues the enemy and restores what is stolen. He restores our hope, our identity, our peace, our relationship with God the Father, our eternal future. What David experienced physically, Jesus accomplishes spiritually and eternally. Jesus just didn't recover what was lost. He redeemed what was broken. The cross is God's ultimate recovery mission. God's restoration isn't always replacement. Sometimes it's resurrection. As I close, I want to share a number of spiritual takeaways here that we can gather from this story with David. Number one, discouragement can distort our thinking. Secondly, God protects us even when we make imperfect decisions. Thirdly, strength is found in returning to the Lord. Four, God restores what the enemy steals. And lastly, Jesus is the greater King who rescues and restores his people. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.
Can you repeat the first one, please, again?
Discouragement can distort our thinking. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you are a God who restores what's been lost. When we grow weary, discouraged, or afraid, remind us of your promises, Father. Teach us how to strengthen ourselves in your presence, just as David did. And thank you for Jesus, who's the greater King, who defeated the enemy and recovered everything he had stolen from us. Help us to walk daily in that victory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Awesome teaching, Bruce. Great job.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you, Bruce.
You know, I have a guest here that joined us this morning. I think at the moment he's in the witness protection.